this week on Vaticano. Join us in celebrating the Week of Christian Unity as we highlight the Vatican's efforts in ecumenical dialogue. During this year of Jubilee, all Christians will commemorate Easter on the same date. We interview Father Roberto Pasolini, the new preacher of the papal household, and celebrate the 800th anniversary of the Canticle of the Creatures in Assisi. Vaticano starts now.
We have come together this morning for a meeting that, apart from its institutional character, seeks above all to be a family event. A moment in which the family of peoples symbolically gathers, through your presence, to exchange fraternal good wishes, to leave behind the disputes that divide us, and instead, to find what unites us.
As he does every year, Pope Francis met with all diplomats accredited to the Holy See at the beginning of this year. Unable to read his full State of the World address due to a persistent cold, the pontiff asked an aide to read his prepared remarks to the diplomats at the Hall of the Blessings in Vatican City. In his address, the Pope explicitly warned of the increasingly concrete threat of a world war, and condemned the efforts of some countries to enforce a so-called right to abortion.
This is a mentality that, by claiming to leave behind what are considered to be the dark pages of history, opens the door to the cancel culture. In this regard, it is unacceptable, for example, to speak of an alleged right to abortion that contradicts human rights, particularly the right to life. All life must be protected at every moment, from conception to natural death, because no child is a mistake or guilty of existing. Just as no elderly or sick person may be deprived of hope and discarded.
The pontiff was also decrying a polarization that he said led to the assassination attempt of incoming U.S. President Donald Trump and Slovakian Prime Minister Robert Fico. After expressing his concern about the many conflicts in various parts of the world, Pope Francis ended his speech by reminding the diplomats that diplomacy is a vocation to foster dialogue with all parties, and that political leaders are called to be heralds of peace, truth, forgiveness, freedom, and justice. Grazie. On Sunday, Pope Francis baptized 21 babies at the Vatican's Sistine Chapel.
Padre misericordioso dal fonte del battesimo, hai fatto scaturire in noi la nuova vita dei figli. Chiediamo al Signore.
We ask the Lord, may they grow in faith, a true humanity, in the joy of family.
In the 1980s, St. John Paul II began the papal tradition of baptizing children in the Sistine Chapel on the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. Cardinal Fernando Berjez Alzaga, president of the Governorate of the Vatican City State, served as the main celebrant of the Mass, with Cardinal Conrad Krajewski, the papal almoner, concelebrating.
Vengono chiamati e realmente sono figli di Dio.
The event was reserved at first for the babies of the Swiss Guards, but was later expanded to include the children of Vatican employees. To qualify, children have to be under 1 year of age, and their parents must be married in the church. Each child is accompanied in the Sistine Chapel by his or her parents, siblings, godfather, and godmother. After the ceremony, the pontiff prayed the Angelus in St. Peter's Square. There, the Holy Father gave the assembled believers homework to do.
I will ask you a question. Does every one of you remember the date of your baptism? This is very important. Think, on what day was I baptized? And if we do not remember, when we arrive home, let us ask our parents or our godparents the date of our baptism, and let us celebrate this date as if it were a new birthday, that of our birth in the Spirit of God. Do not forget, this is our homework, the date of our baptism.
La data del mio battesimo.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Pope Francis has published his first autobiography, titled Hope, written over 6 years in collaboration with Italian writer Carlo Musso. The book begins with his Italian roots and his ancestors' courageous migration to Latin America in the early 20th century. Pope Francis also explores key moments of his papacy and discusses the future of the Church. In his Angelus address, Pope Francis highlighted the recent beatification of Don Giovanni Merlini, a missionary priest he described as a prudent advisor to many souls and a messenger of peace. Merlini, who died in 1873, was a member of the Congregation of the Missionaries of the Precious Blood. He served as a preacher and missionary in Italy and was killed by a coachman driven by anti-clerical hatred. President Joe Biden has honored Pope Francis with the Presidential Medal of Freedom with Distinction. As the nation's highest award, the medal is presented to individuals who have made exemplary contributions to the prosperity, values, or security of the United States, world peace, or other significant societal, public, or private endeavors, the White House stated. This marks the first time Biden has awarded the medal with distinction. The beatification process for Sister Claire Crockett officially began with a ceremony in Madrid, Spain. Held at the Cathedral of Alcalá de Henares, the event initiated the diocesan phase where a tribunal examined her life, virtues, and reputation for holiness. Sister Crockett, who died in a 2016 earthquake in Ecuador at age 33, is now titled Servant of God, the Catholic Church's first step toward sainthood. Pope Francis opened the first Saturday Jubilee audience of 2025 by urging pilgrims to embrace hope as a divine strength for new beginnings. Speaking in the Vatican's audience hall, he emphasized that hope is not just a character trait, but a theological virtue, a strength to be asked for from God. Again, thank you so much for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. Andrea Stonehauser in Rome for EWTN Vaticano.
In just a few moments, we'll celebrate the Week of Christian Unity and explore how, during this year of Jubilee, all Christians will commemorate Easter on the same date. The pursuit of Christian unity has been a central mission of the Church since the Second Vatican Council. Now, in the Jubilee Year of Hope, this mission takes center stage in Rome. Leading these efforts is the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity, under the guidance of Cardinal Kurt Koch.
The fundament of all ecumenical engagement is the high priestly prayer from Jesus in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And it's very interesting that Jesus did not order unity by his disciples, but he prays for the unity. And when Jesus has prayed for the unity, we cannot do some better.
Each year, from January the 18th to the 25th, Christians worldwide observe the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, culminating on the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. This year, the observance holds special significance, as the leaders from various Christian traditions will gather in Rome during the Jubilee Year of Hope, marking a renewed commitment to ecumenism.
This year, the Jubilee, proclaimed and decided by Pope Francis, will also have a particularly ecumenical dimension, as we will celebrate the anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. This council, was not only the first ecumenical council that brought together all the bishops, but also perhaps the most important one, as it laid the foundation of our faith in Christ.
Fondato le basi della nostra fede in Cristo.
Highlighting the anniversary, Pope Francis plans a pilgrimage to the ancient city of Nicaea, accompanied by Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, to reaffirm the Nicene Creed alongside other Christian leaders, an unprecedented act of unity, on the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. But unity comes with challenges. Misconceptions, like the practice of indulgences, can create obstacles.
Sì, il tema delle indulgenze è molto controverso.
The topic of indulgences is highly controversial. We must distinguish between the historical aspect and the spiritual one. Historically, there have been abuses. Through the practice of indulgences, we express this dual belief in mercy and healing. And on this foundation, I believe all Christians can find common ground, even though the topic of indulgences itself is somewhat controversial.
Dialogue with the Coptic Orthodox Church has faced recent strains, notably over the Fiducia Supplicans document that opened the door to spontaneous blessings of couples in irregular situations and same-sex couples. Father Destivelle plays a key role in rebuilding these relations, fostering understanding and collaboration. Efforts include theological dialogues, exchange visits, and the annual Day of Friendship between the Catholic and Coptic Orthodox churches.
Dopo la pubblicazione, infatti, ci sono stati tre passi importanti.
After the publication, there were three important steps. The first was that in January 2024, the Dicastery of the Doctrine of Faith provided clarifications for the Eastern Orthodox members of the Commission. Then, Cardinal Koch sent a letter to Pope Tawadros, the Patriarch of the Coptic Church. Finally, Cardinal Fernandez, who promulgated the letter Fiducia Supplicans, personally traveled to meet Pope Tawadros in Cairo last year. I believe all these steps were well received and helped clarify that the Catholic doctrine on marriage has not changed at all.
The Jubilee year also focuses on the ecumenism of blood, honoring modern-day martyrs who died for their faith. Pope Francis has emphasized that their sacrifice unites Christians beyond doctrine.
In the ecumenical engagement, we search unity, but that means not that we have uniatism, but we respect and acknowledge the different diversities in the other churches when there are not separating issues, but reconciled issues. Differences, there are reconciled. This is the very important question that we must find.
Throughout the year, Rome will host ecumenical events, symbolizing a shared journey toward unity. A major international conference, hosted by the World Council of Churches, will focus on the legacy of the Nicene Creed and future ecumenical dialogue. Pope Francis reminds us, ecumenism is not optional. His call to walk together in faith reflects the heart of this mission. He reminds us that the journey of synodality is and must be ecumenical, underscoring the importance of walking together in faith. This Jubilee year offers a rare alignment. In 2025, Easter will be celebrated on the same day by all Christian denominations, April the 20th. The preacher of the papal household holds a distinct position within the Roman Curia, being the sole cleric authorized to preach directly to the Pope. He offers spiritual reflections to the Pope and other high-ranking church officials. The tradition dates back to the medieval era, when general procurators of the four mendicant orders, Franciscans, Dominicans, Augustinians, and Carmelites, preached before the papal court during Advent and Lent. Over time, this evolved into the singular office of the apostolic preacher, carrying forward a rich legacy of faith and scholarship. After a remarkable 44 years of preaching done by Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa, last December, Father Roberto Pasolini was appointed as the new preacher of the papal household. With a solid background in biblical studies, his deep knowledge of the scriptures represents an added value that will enhance his role, enabling him to address the theological and pastoral challenges of the contemporary church with expertise.
I believe that the advantage of having knowledge of the Bible is the ability to present the mystery of God to others in a modern way. I would say because today people really connect through stories. On Instagram, everywhere, people share stories because stories are places where we immediately recognize ourselves. On the other hand, more abstract, theoretical, or dogmatic formulations are like thoughts we are no longer accustomed to relating to. So I think the Bible is a very modern resource for proclaiming the mystery of God.
By working together with as many as three popes, Father Cantalamessa grew into a central figure within the Roman Curia. Aware of the challenge of succeeding Cantalamessa, Father Pasolini seems to know how to approach this new role.
On the one hand, I will try to remain true to myself without comparing too much, because that's never a good thing to do. And above all, I believe it wouldn't be helpful to compare myself to such a great figure. I will try to bring my own contribution, which I think will be more focused on biblical theology given my formation. And then, by staying true to myself, I don't think I will prevent my humanity, which is that of a much younger friar than Father Raniero, from communicating through a language and approach that resonates more with people of my age. This will naturally create a small discontinuity, as always happens when different generations take over.
Father Roberto Pasolini's appointment as papal preacher was perceived as a divine calling, unexpected yet providential, inviting him to place his gifts at the service of the church.
The fact that God is calling me at this moment to go right into the heart of the church, in front of the Pope, the cardinals, to the people who somewhat support the Christian institution to speak such important words of meaning, frightens me. But I feel that it also corresponds so much to me, because it is what I have been searching for in some way all along. So I believe that God's callings are always sudden gifts, but also troubles where we have been getting into for a long time already, in the sense that God always respects our sensitivities and our attitudes. So something absolutely unprecedented is happening to me, but perhaps a path of search that I've always been on is also being realized, and so I cannot but be serenely agitated within this fragile balance.
Father Pasolini's next duties in his new role are scheduled for the Fridays of Lent, with homilies on the meaning of penance and spiritual renewal in preparation for Easter. We'll be back after a short break with the opening of the 800th anniversary of the Canticle of the Creatures in Assisi.
The great message is that God has entrusted us, since Genesis, to be stewards. To steward not only by guarding, but also by cultivating the garden of creation. Every time we lose this mandate, we appropriate it and become masters of creation, causing creation to rebel. Moreover, the Lord has also asked us to represent Him.
Di rappresentarlo.
In the year 1225, a gravely ill and nearly blind St. Francis of Assisi, aware of his impending death, composed a hymn of gratitude that would resonate through the ages, known as the Canticle of the Creatures, or the Canticle of Brother Son. It celebrates the beauty of creation and the mystery of life. Eight centuries later, on January the 11th, 2025, the Franciscan family gathered in Assisi to honor the eighth centenary of the Canticle, with ceremonies at the sanctuaries of San Damiano and the Spoliation. Born from St. Francis's dialogue with God, the Canticle is a dance of praise, radiating joy, wonder, and light. This very light inspired Pope Francis to choose his name upon ascending to the papacy.
The great issue that is underscored in the magisterium of the latest pontificates is that we are beings in relationship, our DNA and relationships. A Christian cannot be interested only in himself. But indeed, we are all brothers. And Francis reminds us that the wind is a brother, the fire, the sisters, the stars, all are in relationship.
Le stelle, tutto è relazione.
The 2025 commemoration began at San Damiano, where St. Francis composed much of the Canticle. The ceremony, led by Brother Francesco Piloni, included a reading from the compilation of Assisi.
Celebriamo il centenario di un testo che è certamente una poesia.
A brief liturgy of the word and messages from key Franciscan leaders, including Brother Massimo Fusarelli and Brother Carlos Alberto Trovarelli.
Laudato si, per frate vento e per aere e nubilo e sereno e ogni tempo.
Nel 1225, qui Francesco.
In 1225, here, Francis, after having received the stigmata a year earlier at La Verna, on a night of great tribulation, where there were even mice running alongside his body, he strongly asks the Lord for help with his sufferings. And from that night, a travail was born, one of the greatest and most powerful expressions that marked literature. Here, friends, Francis composed the Canticle of the Creatures.
The celebration continued at the Sanctuary of the Spoliation, where Brother Simone Calvarese led reflections on the Canticle's final stanzas, focusing on forgiveness and death. Messages were shared by prominent Franciscan leaders and Bishop Domenico Sorrentino, highlighting the unity and spiritual richness of the Franciscan legacy.
The beauty is that now the Franciscans are in more than 100 countries around the world, and each one wants to strongly tie this expression that is 800 years old, but so current and so contemporary, the Canticle of Creatures, because each of us is in contact with the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth, but also with illness and death. And forgiveness touches all created realities, but it touches man.
Tocca tutte le realtà create, ma tocca l'uomo.
In his final years, St. Francis found joy in an apparent paradox, the acceptance of brother pain and sister death. Amid physical suffering and discord among his brothers, his dialogue with God became a source of hope.